regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a fresh scrubs. Call me private label, I be leaving breadcrumbs. I want all the smoke.
All right, welcome to the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only Pimpcast on planet Earth, where we talk about permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. And yeah, I'm flying solo on this, and I'll probably be doing that for a while, but it's all good, and it's so good to be in here with y'all. If you'd be kind enough, go ahead and hit that thumbs up as you come in. And as FedUp says, tip a pimp. We'll get to that in a minute. As always, y'all, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest, y'all. 10% off with promo code PERMA. And I'm going to give you a bunch of reasons today where you might want to be thinking about your preparedness and how on lock you actually have it. In fact, I'll get to that in a minute once I'm done with some of the announcements. But I want to basically spend a lot of time getting into the nuts and bolts of what's going on in the preparedness field. I don't cover it enough. And if you've seen anything in this program, yeah, we cover permaculture, all that good stuff. But I started off, before I ever understood what permaculture was about, I was in the preparedness biz for a long, long time. So we'll get to that in a minute. Hey, remember, if you're going to listen to us in the audio version of it, you can check us out in the Fountain app where you can tip a pimp. In the form of sestoshis or sats, whatever they call them things, sats, SATs. So anyway, if you want to drop some SATs on some PIMPs, go do it on the Fountain app. Plus, you can leave questions over there. You can use all kinds of good stuff over there, really good goodies, and you can triple up the speed if you like. Also, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. And do I really need to go into all the reasons right now, this day and age, why you really ought to be considering that? And remember, it isn't the whole notion of having an EMP shield is not to go to the club if when things jump off. I'm not going to say if anymore. To me, it's a matter of when. And our expert tonight is going to be talking a great deal about that and the precarious situation we now find ourselves. And all the recent trips to the grocery store as of late has convinced me that this is absolutely positively a show that has to be done. Finally, yeah, don't forget about the Texas Boys, thetexasboys.com. They got a food forest in a box. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Go over there, use promo code PERMA, knock 5% off. I think you're going to be floored by what they have over there. I haven't seen anything even close to matching their cost when it comes to sending this stuff down the road. And so I got a little bit of that out here too. So go check out the Texas Boys promo code PIMP, or I'm sorry, promo code PERMA. Sorry, I had something fly in my eye for a minute there. Good thing it's not one of them stink bugs riding around right now. Well, we're waiting for our guest to get on. He has a little bit of a technical snafu, but I'm here to hang out with all of y'all. Let's see here. Andy. Hi, Billy from Tongi. Yeah, Andy's from Tonganoxie, Kansas, if you don't know. And yeah, it's all good. These guys out there in Tonganoxie are, it was a really cool place to hang out for a while. William went to school out there, graduated high school out there. It was a really, really awesome place. Fed up, preparedness, that's what I'm talking about. Andy, Matt Davis just finished up watching, taking notes on one of the lectures from Nicholas Bertner on online PDC. Hey, that's another thing too, y'all. I want to point out, man, I was really floored when Nicholas called me up this last week from School of Permaculture. He made a sizable donation from all you folks that have signed up to get a permaculture design certificate with him. All of you people that signed up over there, there's been a portion of it, and it's a pretty hefty portion that he gave to, well, I can't say it on here. And folks, this is going to sound absolutely crazy. I can't actually say it on here or they will absolutely terminate this feed. And what you see on my shirt right now, let me go ahead and lift it up. It's V4CR. Now, if anybody knows what that is, please shout it out in the chat. Because if I say it on here, believe it or not, they will absolutely cut the feed. Well, anyway, he gives, for anybody that does the lifetime version over there, he doesn't give me, I don't get anything out of the deal. In fact, it actually goes to this organization on my shirt, V4CR. So if anybody knows what that is, please absolutely positively put it in the chat for those that don't know. Yeah, thanks, Matt. I mean, Nicholas is a fantastic teacher. He was one of my instructors, as I've talked a while back. And I do want to say, though, look, folks, when you get into this space, when we do consultations or anything of that nature, the first thing we ask right out of the gate is, what does your food storage look like? How's it going? I mean, do you have 3 months, 6 months, a year put back? What do you, thank you very much, Andy. Do you have anything? And Carrie, thank you also. Do you have anything put back? Nine times out of 10, the answer is no. And I'm not dogging anybody that's just getting into this space and realizing, oh, shoot, you know what? I understand, you know, you got a 9 to 5, you do your regular gig every day, and it's what it is. And you don't yet realize, in terms of preparedness, because honestly, in our United States of amnesia, we've forgotten all about it because we've been able to. And so that's why we ask that question right out of the gates, like, hey, what does your food storage look like? And nine times out of 10, people are like, oh, shoot, yeah, it's probably going to take a couple of years before these trees kick in. It's going to take a while, absolutely, before the seeds kick in. It's going to take a while to do all these things. And in that interstitial period, you need to be thinking about what you're going to do. Now, I've talked extensively, even done videos. You'll have to go back a little bit, but I've done many, many videos on how a person could feed him or herself for, I think the number was 72 days on $100. And you can find that. We got that video out there now. Clearly, we've had some inflation, you know, that doesn't exist by the powers that shouldn't be. We've had a little bit of that as of late. So it is what it is, you know, in terms of, you know, how far you'll go with that. So whereas it was 72 days before, maybe it's down to 60. So that's exactly what I'm getting at. Look, you don't need to be Nostradamus. You don't have to be Edgar Cayce. You don't need to be a prophet or a prophetess. You don't need to be any of that stuff to look at what's unfolding right now and to be asking seriously critical questions about the nature of what's going on. Michelle and I had to do a little bit of running around yesterday. And while we did some of that running around, she was, give me a second here, y'all, and I'll get to your comments here in a minute. We were doing a little bit of running around yesterday. She walked out of there, and believe me, we don't source most of our food from a grocery store. We grow it, and that's what we teach everybody to do here. So she walked out of there, and this, like I said, it was just yesterday. She walked out of there, and she was like flabbergasted with what things cost. I mean, for the most part, we've been at this for a very, very long time. And essentially, the only thing we really need to go to the store for is toilet paper and aluminum foil. So, you know, not everybody's going to start off that way, and nobody's going to start off that way. And, you know, and exactly our specialist, our guest right now, Clayton Llewellyn from Heaven's Harvest. I wanted to bring him on, y'all. I've heard him in previous interviews with other podcasters, and his understanding, unlike a lot of people that run these businesses, his understanding and his feel for the bottom as far as what's going on in our food supply and how critical and on a knife's edge it really is, was really astonishing. This is information that I know, but he knew just hearing him talk. I mean, he's got his pulse. He's got the pulse of the situation that's going on right now. So with that said, I want to welcome my next guest. How you doing, Clayton?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
Okay, we have got a sound problem. So I don't know if it's on your end or mine. All right. Folks in the chat there, can you hear Clayton at all?
Can you hear me? Testing?
Yeah, I can hear you, but you're not. I'll tell you what, I'm going to probably have to do this a different kind of way. All right, Clayton, can you still hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, can the folks in the chat hear me? If you can't,
I can hear him.
You can hear Clayton just fine? Yeah. For some reason, he's not coming in he's not coming through the mic or through the earphones right now.
Can you switch the headphones?
Bear with me, y'all. We're having a little bit of a technical snafu. Michelle, can you come around the other end and plug me in? I had to unplug it.
You unplugged what?
Yeah, that one. All right. Well, hang on, honey. All right. So can everybody hear Clayton? Give me a shout out, Clayton.
Can you hear me now? Verizon commercial.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, my technical assistant is telling me that everything's good, so now I can hear you. All right. Well, hey, folks, sorry about the technical snafu. That's going to happen from time to time. Clayton, if you would, why don't you give everybody your origin story and what brought you to this work?
Yeah, man, it was, I hate to say it was having kids that did it, but having kids is what did it. It was probably 10 or 12 years ago is when we started it. And there were actually two reasons behind us starting Heaven's Harvest. The first one was after the recession. I got a job working for the farmers in Florida, like the commercial farmers. And man, I was just floored at what they're spraying on our produce, what they're spraying on our vegetables. I mean, if you've never seen that, like, I mean, it's disturbing, you know, and the more you learn about it, like that's some really, really, really nasty stuff they're using. And I mean, they've got tractor drivers that they work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, just dumping chemicals. That's all it is. So that kind of got me, you know, thinking I don't want to be eating this stuff. And then we had kids. And again, of course, living in Florida, you start to worry about hurricanes and all that kind of stuff. So that kind of got us into from heirloom seeds to survival food. And they kind of worked hand in hand with each other. The seeds were originally for healthy eating, you know, just they're heirloom seeds. We can grow them again. The taste, I'm sure you know this, the taste of the produce that comes out of them, the taste of your product reminds you of what we had 30 years ago. You know, the stuff you buy from the grocery store shelves now, it's garbage. It's junk. It's made to look pretty on the shelf. You know, no taste to it. So, you know, that got us into it. And we had the hurricanes, like I said. And, you know, I was thinking we could, you know, the long-term storage of the garden and stuff like that, but also something in the meantime got us into the survival food. You know, you watch people running around down there like chickens with their heads cut off when a hurricane's coming. Well, it made sense to get survival food. And we had bought some from another company. And I was really disappointed with what we got. What they were claiming to be a year's worth of food had enough calories for about 9 months. So that's one of those things. If you've got that stuff, you need to check it to make sure you have what you need.
Well, you know, what's crazier is I've been at this thing for a long, long time, first in preparedness and then, you know, into the permaculture world and all of this stuff. And I'll be honest with you, right from the very beginning, whenever you would see one of these survival buckets, when I first got into it, before I really knew how to do this stuff on a budget and then how to really, really grow it and put it away and do all that good stuff, the thing that would absolutely positively floor me in all of these month-long survival kits or any of the other ones was out there would be all the drink mixes. Yeah, technically you got all of these calories, but they're filled up to the brim with drink mixes. I'm like, okay, who's going to live on this? I mean, I would rather eat one of them nasty MREs back from the army than eat this junk that they got in there, 50% of which were these drink mixes. And I'm like, okay, I got to reset here. So why don't you speak to that a little bit? Because I know you guys, that was one of the things that drew me to your company is the fact that you're not doing any of that.
Well, that's what it was funny when you say that, because when we opened it up, it was like drink mixes, rice and beans. And I'm thinking, well, I don't really want a drink mix and I can buy rice and beans at Walmart. Like, what's the point of this? You know, so we cut all that out. You know, it's a little bit of truth in advertising, but we say a 1 month bucket, there's one month worth of food in there. And I mean, if you're a military background, like, you know, when you're in a stressful situation like that, and everybody's had them, even like a bad day at work, like when you get home, what makes you feel good? Like a good meal, you know what I mean? Like something to fill you up, not a drink. Well, some drinks make you feel good, but not the drink mixes in the buckets. So that's what we were looking for was, you know, if you're in a stressful situation, you've got something to put in your belly and make you feel good.
Yeah, Andy's out here saying MRE stands for Meals Rejected by Ethiopians. And I would not disagree with that. Although I will say that the Arctic MREs that I had when I was up in Alaska, I got to say, as far as meals go, it would absolutely shock you what's good in an MRE and when it comes in the Arctic environment. They actually care just a tad bit more. Let's back up a little bit, Clayton. So you saw this whole thing was on a knife's edge and you knew things were jacked up from the feet up. I was just recalling to the people a moment ago, going into the store the other day, you know, I've been doing a little price checking whenever I go to Sam's Club, reluctantly, walk in there, I would look at a 50-pound bag of rice. And just a few months ago, I mean, years ago, you can get a whole 50-pound bag for like $8. Then over the last year, I think it was 17 where I live near Asheville. And then from that time until now, it's now, I mean, just in a month and a half, it's up to $25 for a 50-pound bag. And that's just in a handful of couple of months, but we don't have any inflation here. But of course, they never count food and fuel in those inflation figures, as you well know. You have your finger on the pulse. I want to get into your seeds here in a little bit because I've been shouting them from the rooftops. But I know you really have your finger on the pulse as far as the shaky nature of our food supply and how it might be a little difficult for you to acquire some of this stuff. Can you speak to any of that that's going on right now? I mean, everybody just goes to the store, but they don't know the behind the scenes stuff that somebody like you might know.
Man, like to start from the beginning of this, and I mean, you know it better than anyone, like the ability for us to take care of ourselves has been lost in a generation or two. You know what I mean? Like if this were 60, 70 years ago, like World War II time, we would never be having this conversation. You know what I mean? We all knew how to grow a garden. We all knew how to, you know, slaughter a cow if we had to. We all knew how to hunt deer, hunt a squirrel, eat rabbit. Like we all knew how to take care of ourselves. And in a matter of two generations, it's gone. You know, I remember growing up with a root cellar. Like that wasn't that long ago. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we had a 4 or 5 acre garden every year. Like, so it's crazy how fast the art of being able to take care of yourself or feed yourself has been lost in this country. I mean, almost overnight. Like, and I don't think people realize that, you know, I mean, we're so dependent on the grocery store right now. And I'm guilty of it. You know, like there's a lot of people that are guilty of that. Like that don't have a big enough garden to last them all year, or don't have chickens, or don't have cows, or, you know, again, can't kill a deer. Like, I mean, we're at the point now, I mean, what's there, 2 weeks worth of food left, like in the pipeline? I mean, it doesn't take much to mess that up. And we've seen that, you know what I mean? We've gone through COVID now, like that little knock on the door there. We just watched Ukraine and Russia fight and another little knock on the door. Like it's getting bad, you know, And then you've got people like Bill Gates and all these guys. And again, this is where the conspiracy theorists are going to tell you you're an idiot and all that. But we've seen that, you know, it's about 24 hours between a conspiracy theory and the truth anymore. But I mean, he's buying up all this farmland. It's like, why is he doing that? Oh, he just, you know, somewhere to stick his money. Yeah, when he started Microsoft, everybody said the same thing too. You know what I mean? And now his software rules the internet, rules the computer world. Like he's going to do the same thing with food. They're going to figure out how to control the food and control the people.
Yeah, right off the bat, I've been telling people we do. Look, for those just getting in right now, please hit that thumbs up. It tells the algorithms at YouTube to go ahead and suppress us right off. So do me a favor, let them know that we're live so they know to suppress us like they always do. So, you know, in light of all this stuff that's going on right now, we have calamity after calamity, whether contrived or controlled, or which I believe all of the above. I guess I would qualify as one of those conspiracy theorists. But I guess, you know, that puts me in better company than the coincidence theorists out there that just think all these things happen in and of themselves, that, you know, there's no puppeteer above all this stuff making it all happen. Whenever we go out, and you weren't on with me yet, one of the things we do whenever we do farm consultations or anything like it, and it's probably unlike any other person out there that does these sort of things, my son, who typically does the consultations, will first ask, how much food, if things were to jump off today, because 9 times out of 10, the people that are wanting consultations from us these days and how to make their place self-sufficient, they see the writing on the wall. They see that the United States of amnesia is falling apart right now. And like you said a moment ago, Clayton, they also realize or have at least recognize the fact that they don't know how to skin a buck or run a trot line. They don't know how to do what our grandparents used to do. And so now they're thinking, okay, I need to rediscover these skills. I need to have a renaissance of my own. So when we go out and we ask that question and we say, huh, have you put any food back? I mean, what do you have? I mean, if things were to jump off tomorrow, it's going to take some years for these fruit trees to kick off. It's going to take some time before you put meat in the freezer. if it were to happen tomorrow, what do you have put back? And about 10 times out of 10, it's like, well, I didn't really think about that part of it. Yep. It's usually the case.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll tell you what, that's the thing too, because we've seen, I mean, such a, like an outflow from the cities in the last few years. You know, everybody's wanting to get out of the cities, and they move to the country, and all of a sudden they think they're safe. Like, that's not the case. You know, just because you're living in the mountains or living in the country or some rural area in America, you still don't have the ability to take care of yourself. And like you said, 10 times out of 10, I mean, we talk to people every day. Where do I need to start? What do I need to do? Like, they're lost. They don't have a clue. We'll be in just as bad a shape as somebody in Atlanta or Charlotte or Philadelphia or New York. You know, so it's, you've got to learn the trade, and you got to start now. You know, don't wait till it's time. Start to figure it out now.
Well, that's what floored me with all the companies out there that talk about these quote survival seeds. I was like, okay, so let me think this out. So let's say a calamity jumps off and you say, oh snap, I need to go get my stuff together, man. Let me go take these survival seeds, which, by the way, I've never even planted. I'm going to go out here and start me a garden. But you know what? I'm going to have one heck of a long fast because it's going to take 90 days before I can eat one of these radishes coming out of here. So it's like ready, fire, aim on most of this stuff. And I'll be honest with you, Clayton, because I've been, like I said, I've been at this a very long time. You name a seed company out there, my wife, I guarantee, has probably tried it. And some of the most highly touted seed companies out there, I want to first get into this with you real quick, because even seeds are coming hard. I mean, they were during the height of COVID. Yeah. Seeds were, you could find Bin Laden easier than you could find seeds. And you just couldn't find them anywhere. And I mean, you could probably find Jimmy Hoffa easier than you could have found seeds when COVID was at the height of its zenith or whatever. Look, I won't even get in on that because they will cut me off of this feed. But you would go out there and go look for seeds. And my wife tried some of the biggest companies out there. Look, y'all, look, those of you in the chat right now, if I mention these names, I guarantee you would know who they were. You've even heard Danny from Deep South, real good friend of mine, Danny at Deep South, talk about all these seeds that come from these highfalutin places, get them out to the house, and they got a germination rate of about 5%. Michelle did the same thing here, got the same kind of germination rate. Clayton, I will say, because I've been telling everybody, this is why I wanted you so badly on the podcast, not only to talk about these things, but also I got to know, man, what is going on with your seeds? Because I'm not joking. We've had 100% germination rate, and there ain't another company I can say that about out there. So all these highly touted seed companies, they claim get your survival seeds and all this. First of all, y'all don't even call them that, because if you did, I would have already had a red flag up. It's heirloom seeds. What are you guys doing to source your stuff? And are seeds still hard to come by for you guys?
Yeah, they are, man. Like the tomatoes were a big problem last year, and we're still having issues finding them. And when we do find them, you're paying a pretty penny for them. I mean, they're all heirlooms. You know what I mean? These aren't hybrids or genetically modified. They're created in a factory. Like, I mean, these are kind of, I don't want to say hand picked and hand sourced, but they pretty much are. I'll tell you, the care we give, it sounds silly, but the care we give our seeds, I mean, like, you can't have seeds in freezing temperatures and then 100 degrees the next day and then cold again and 100 degrees. Like, our warehouses are all climate controlled. They stay at about 70 degrees from the time we get them. The humidity is sucked down to about 40%. Like, I hate to say we take care of them, but we take care of them. And then when we package them, they're all going in Mylar bags, not paper bags. They're not sitting on the back of semi trucks for months. They're not sitting in your local hardware store next to the door where the heat and the wind blow on them constantly. You know, I really think it's just the care we take of them. You know, it's a living organism, so it's not something that we take lightly.
Yeah, somebody in the chat right now wrote one of the companies there. I won't mention it, but yeah, that's one of the big ones out there where the germination rates are nothing. Now, you guys claim 85% on your germination rate, and like I said, I've done the videos on it. And I think I was talking to your wife or whatever when I first was testing this stuff out. And I was like, I don't know if I told her this or wrote to him, but I was like, hey, one way or another, I'm gonna let everybody know if this stuff works or if it doesn't. And she's like, yeah, knock yourself out. So I was really, really pleased with your integrity when I tried these seeds out. And I'm like, okay, yeah, everything's popping up. Only thing that died is what we killed. So
yeah. Well, and I tell you what, we sample everything that comes in the door. You know, we'll get them to sprout, and from there, that's good for us. You know, so where if, and I'll tell you, very rarely, and only maybe once or twice in the last 10 years have we had any kind of seed come in that didn't perform to our standards and it got thrown out. So everything's tested in our house or tested in our warehouse before we send anything out the door. So they're good. They're good seeds, man. I know it takes a little more to garden than just sticking a seed in the ground, but God's done a lot of the work there. Stick it in the ground. You'll get something.
Yeah. And you know what? Also, the fact that it's on Mylar, look, this may sound a little conspiratorial, but I wondered if that wasn't part of it, is that you have, first of all, resealable Mylar, which is pretty awesome. And you can reuse the bags. So hang on to them, y'all, because you can put your next, you know, what you get from the next one. And now for every generation you're growing them at your property, they're now becoming more genetically favoring your property. So if they come up, you get a couple come up. Okay, great. Now keep those seeds. And now you have something for the next generation that's going to be even better. So that's exactly why we save our seeds. And like you were saying, since they're not GMO or anything like that, you can do that. You can absolutely save those seeds. Somebody suggested, and I don't know that it was me or not. I don't think it was me. I think I got it from somebody else. There's a lot of, and I don't know this for sure, but I was told that there's a lot of radiation or irradiation that happens through the U.S. postal system, and that they're X-raying this stuff and it's screwing up the DNA in some of these other seed companies. But somebody also suggested that because it's in Mylar, that maybe it might be, you know, able to reflect some of this this X-ray or whatever they're doing going through the mail. Maybe that's part of why yours are so successful. I don't know. You have an opinion on that?
No, I'll be honest. It's the first I've heard that, but it makes sense. I mean, you've got to know they're scanning everything that comes through there. So the Mylar would absolutely help to, you know, block any kind of radiation or X-rays or anything like that going through the bags.
Yeah, I wish I had the name of whoever wrote that in the chat, but you may be on to something there.
Yeah, because
a lot of the other companies, like one that was mentioned right here, apparently a lot of people know who that company is. They're mentioning it in the chat right now. All of them, and most seed companies, they send their stuff in paper. So maybe it's getting Kentucky Fried on the way in, and who knows, maybe it's knocking out half the genetics in there. So maybe that's something to consider as well. And I, for one, ain't believing that all this stuff is of any accident. So Clayton, let me hit you up because I mean, you got to source all this stuff.
Yes.
You know, so a lot of people are out there that are listening right now. They're going to think, well, you know, I've done program after program, practically every episode I do with this podcast right now. I'm telling people, hey, if you can source all this, source what you can, your beans and rice, your dry goods, whatever. If you can do that, go ahead. If you got a freeze dryer, knock yourself out. But most people don't have a freeze dryer. And if they do, 9 times out of 10, they're collecting dust. I know for a fact that I'm pretty much the only freeze dryer. The only person I know that has a freeze dryer and runs it 24/7 is me.
Yep.
Everybody else basically sits it on the shelf. I'm not saying other folks ain't doing it. I just don't know who they are. So a lot of people in their busy lives probably can't carve out time to do a lot of this stuff. Now, the benefit of what you have is that you can kind of let somebody else do your shopping for you. What do you offer? I mean, since it's not all drink mixes, because I've tried your food and I thought it was actually, you know, when it comes to freeze-dried food, man, I thought yours was pretty doggone top notch.
Yeah. Well, look, that's the thing too, Billy. Like a lot of people, and we're all guilty of it. Not all of us, most of us. Like a lot of people don't have the time to set, like, you know what I mean? We've got jobs and everything else we've got to do now too. You know what I mean? Again, back in World War II, we were all still living on farms. That was our job, you know, to grow our food and, you know, that kind of stuff. Times have changed. And as much as I'd like to see everybody go back to that old way, you can't stand in the way of progress either. So, I mean, the hard reality of it is, like, you got to know how to grow a garden. You got to be able to feed yourself. But I honestly believe you got to have the survival food too. Cause like you said, you've got 90 days before anything's going to come out of the ground, you know? So even if, you know, over the winter or something like that's not growing, like that's a great time to get into the freeze dried food. When the spring rolls around, get the garden going again, you know, get everything canned that you can get canned or freeze dried if you can get it freeze dried. And right now is the time to freeze dry it, because I hate to say it, but if it got bad like that again, will we have power? You know what I mean? Will you be able to run a freeze dryer unless you've got the solar and everything else already hooked up? But then that's a draw on your source. So I think the freeze dried food is necessary, but keep in mind, you'll never be able to store enough freeze dried food to last a lifetime. So figure out how to grow a garden too. Figure out how to hunt. Figure out how to kill animals. I hate to say that, but figure out how to hunt, you know, like It's all important stuff. I'm sure you've got into this. Figure out how to, if you've got a water source. You know, a lot of people don't even think about water. We can last a couple of weeks without food. You're only going to last a couple of days without water. Do you have a way to filter it? Do you have a way to store it? You know, and again, like a week or two is great. But if this goes into a month or 2 months or 3 months, 4 months, a year, can you filter water for a year? You know, can people boil water? I mean, it's silly things. Like, you know, if the power went out tomorrow, do you have the ability? You probably do at your house. You've probably never tried it. You've never thought of it. But take the time tonight or tomorrow to sit down with your husband or your kids and say, look, if power goes out, we need to boil water. Turns out there's a creek down there. We got our pool in the backyard. We, you know, stick some 5 gallon buckets under the gutters. Like, figure out what you have to boil water. You know, like it's silly stuff like that. First aid kits, like just everything we take for granted now that if the power goes out, you know, or the store shut down, can you take care of yourself for a week? I bet you'd be shocked how many people can't even do that.
Yeah, that's a fact. And then, you know, I also need to point out too, you bring up a really good point in that, you know, I'm a journeyman electrician, IBEW journeyman electrician, been one for a long, long time. And if you think, I know a lot of people have these solar kits, you know, you think it's going to run everything. I got news for you. Most of them are 120 volt. Well, that freeze dryer is running 240. Your well pump, if you got a well, is running on 240. But people think they have a 120 volt solar whatever. You haven't thought about the entire equation there because likely your water heater is running on 240 if it's not gas. And you're not going to be freeze drying food when something jumps off. So you might want to think about either having it done or getting it where you can have it already done. Clayton, before we get into, you know, you solving the problems of a lot of people out there, I want to know, how difficult is it? I mean, what are you seeing in terms of availability? I was just talking about how my wife went in the store the other day and she was up to her eyeball. I mean, just walked out of there like, I can't believe this stuff costs this much.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
What are you seeing on your end? Because I know you got to source all this stuff. I mean, are you seeing, we hear certain things out there and the people in this audience right here are going to have certain assumptions, but I want you to kind of speak directly to that because we can take some of the assumption out of it because this is what you do. I mean, is this stuff hard to come by, all of it, or price is going to keep going up, or are they going to level off?
You know, prices are still going up. And, you know, it's the thing is the weather and temperature and that plays a lot into our seeds. You know what I mean? If it's like droughts play a lot into our supply. So it's half of it's what the weather that's going on right now. And the other half is, you know, well, I'm sure you saw it during COVID, like you couldn't buy seeds. It didn't. And the thing is, it's not like you can go to the machine and print more of them. You know what I mean? It doesn't work like that. Like if there's a bad crop or everybody buys them out, you're not getting any till next year, not next week, not next month, next year. You know, so it's, yeah, the seeds are, we're having to source a lot of different varieties. You know what I mean? Like what we've usually stuck with, what we like, I hate to say what we like, but what we found everybody likes, you know, kind of the varieties that everybody's, you know, happy with, we've had to deviate from them a few times and it's getting, you know, to where it was once or twice a year. Now it's once or twice a month. We're having to find something different. The food's not going to slow down. You know, we can get into the whole thing here with the politics of it, but they've got the dollar so messed up that the cost of food is going to continue to go up. You know, I bought a candy bar and a drink the other day from the grocery store and it was $6. Like, that's crazy. I mean, for a drink and a candy bar, $6. Like, I mean, that's as simple as it gets. Like, but no, that's not going to slow down. The war in Ukraine's not going to stop. You know, I think we're marching into World War III. You know, I keep hearing people say, you know, I hope this doesn't start World War III. And I honestly believe it is the start to World
War III. We're in it.
Yeah, we're in it. Like, this is the beginning of it. You know, they just haven't bombed Pearl Harbor yet. Like, I believe we're in it now. So, and again, that's in every war we've ever known in this country has been fought overseas. You know, well, they can reach us now. They don't have to sail a boat and land on the shores. They can reach us from Korea or Russia or, you know, China. Like, the missiles, well, you know, the missiles today, I mean, not like the missiles of the past. You don't have to see what you're shooting at. They can launch these things from the other side of the world. And I wouldn't think for a second that they wouldn't avoid doing that this time.
Clayton, I'm less concerned about foreign adversary. I'm less concerned about them. It's the hoople head down the road that's believing this stuff that's coming out of the mainstream prostitutes. It's the government. You know, I don't have anybody overseas that's ever done a cross thing to me.
Yeah.
But I got a government here that seems determined to absolutely, you know, decimate all of us that believe in the Constitution. Or I guess I shouldn't go too deep into that. Well, you know what? I guess I can. It's my show. I'll talk about whatever I want. They may cut the feed, y'all, so better stay tuned. May have to have Clayton on for part two, y'all, because if this thing goes out, you know what time it is. Bottom line is, I don't fear anybody overseas. I'm worried about the doofuses, these hooples up there, these people trying to tell me that a girl changing herself into a guy or a guy becoming some trans testicle is that's a normal thing for me out here. You know, I'm not worried about these people overseas. I'm worried about these people that seem like they're going out of their way to do everything humanly possible to make us all starve. And that's why I was so excited to get you on, because you're in the business of keeping people from doing that very thing. So yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a big proponent. That's what this stands for. Permaculture is my passion. It's not, I mean, the idea here is we show people, okay, here's how you can raise your animals for free. Here's how you grow a garden. Here's how you make your perennial crops. Here's how you do silva pasture. Here's how you do all this stuff with very little expense, period. But if you ain't got your beans and bullets on lock before something jumps off, then you got problems, nephew. So, you know, this is exactly what I'm worried about, Clayton. As I'm really less concerned with anything overseas. I'm worried about what's happening in the White House and the State House.
No, you know, you're absolutely right. And like you're absolutely right. I'll tell you what, it concerns me. Like, I kind of thought we were a center right country, and I don't believe we're center right anymore. I think we're sneaking closer to the left, to the progressive side, to the Democratic side of the ticket. And man, I always felt like we always kind of like society always pushed a little left and then we pulled back, and then we pushed a little left and then we pulled back. And it feels like anymore we're getting pushed and there's no pullback. It's just push and push and push. You know, I just read an article about recycling. Like, I'm sure a lot of people don't realize that, but we care about the environment. When we go fishing, we don't throw our trash in the water. You know, if there's anybody that cares about deer more than there's nobody that cares about a deer more than a hunter. You know, I mean, they keeping the resources alive is what they're all about. But it's like I just read an article about recycling and what a joke that has been. And it went into renewable energy. It's like, here we're pushing all this stuff. We're pushing electric cars that don't even make any sense. Like, why? What's the point? What's the end game here? Where are we trying to go with this? Like, we can see they don't work. We know they don't work. It's not efficient, but we keep pushing it. We keep pushing it. You know, I mean, it's, what's it been? 8 years ago, we were concerned with boys using girls' bathrooms. Like, what? That's an argument we're even having. I mean, we have to talk about this stuff. Like, you know, boys wanting to dress up as girls and play in their sports. Like, we're even having this discussion. So you're absolutely right. And but it's kind of like we dangle something over here to miss what's going on behind us.
That's right. That's exactly right. They got us in this crazy false dichotomy of a red state and a blue state. Meanwhile, keeping everybody so blind that they don't realize that it's not red state or blue state. It's the state against you.
Yeah.
And if you don't stand up and start kicking some butt I want to make sure I'm very clear about this. I'm not saying go draw your arms. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the most fundamental liberty-minded thing you can do is grow your own food. There's nothing that says liberty more than deciding what you will or won't put in your mind, your body, or what somebody is allowed to shoot into you. And if, you know, obviously I ran off all the people who are in favor of anything of any of that stuff. So I'm not concerned at all. But the bottom line is, when you get down to a lot of this stuff, we have hit a level of depravity in this country that I think it's hard, as a person who studies a great deal of history, particularly Roman history, it is hard for me to imagine depravity in this country right now being any worse in Rome. And we know what happened to Rome. You know, they didn't, you know, they weren't necessarily taken over in the traditional way, but they fell from within. And if you look at all the overlays of what happened to Rome, whether it was foreign conquest, whether it was debasement of their currency, or whether it was, you know, they relied on food in Rome that came out of North Africa. Well, guess what happened when that all dried up? Well, Rome dried up. And there's a lot of other reasons in which we can get into that, but I can definitely see the overlays. Clayton, let's...
Not to cut you off there, but I'll tell you what's crazy. I told you I worked on those farms in Florida. You know, like all those commercial farms, like it's... And I maybe people know it or don't know it, but a lot of produce comes out of Florida. I mean, a lot of produce. The oranges are coming out of Brazil now. There's barely any orange groves left. But, I mean, your peppers, your tomatoes, like, I mean, a ton of produce comes out of Florida. I was down there a few weeks ago in a town called Palmetto, Florida, where there's a bunch of packing houses for tomatoes. They're all gone. A lot of the farms that I worked on are solar fields now. Like, what? Our food is being grown in Mexico, which is ironic. They open a border up to let a bunch of the labor across, but the labor is not needed here. It turns out it's needed back in Mexico. But yeah, the farms in Florida, I mean, they're shutting down like crazy. I mean, it's shocking how many have left. I mean, massive packing houses, you know, that supplied the East Coast with tomatoes. I hate to say that, but literally supplied the East Coast with tomatoes in the spring and the fall are gone. Like this, it's all coming out of Mexico now.
Yeah, well, and then let's also consider exactly how those crops are done in Mexico. I mean, a lot of it is sewage water that's sprayed on those crops. People defecate in the fields, you know. I mean, I guess that's to be expected. And you know, where do you think that stuff bioaccumulates? It's going to be in the very. Where do you think all these E. coli things break out? It ain't in the mom and pop that's growing their stuff, taking it to the farmer's market. It's happening in these high, you know, highly industrialized farms. This stuff doesn't happen in mom and pop places, which brings me right back to your seeds, which is why I'm telling everybody this whole thing. Like I said, history proves that no society ever corrects itself once they hit this level of depravity. The only thing that is historically known to ever improve it or fix it has been the crucible of really hard times. What made the greatest, what some people call the greatest generation? It was the Great Depression. You know, what about during the Revolution? Okay. Yeah, they had to suffer some serious stuff, even though there was only 3% that actually fought that revolution. But as always, it's always a dedicated, irate minority that actually makes a difference, no matter whether for good or for ill. It's always the same small group of people that are devoted to making these changes. But right now, we have got to get a real handle on this food, because when my wife, and like I said, we don't have to go to the store for much. But when she walks out of there getting things, I think, for Thanksgiving, things that we don't necessarily have immediately, like heavy cream and stuff like that, she's walking out of this store, gets back to the truck, gets in there, and she's like, I don't know how people on a fixed income are doing this. Well, I'm like, yeah, well, of course you don't know this, because we grow. I mean, we got freezer after freezer after freezer after meat that we got, that we grow, that we do. And if you don't do that, you don't know where it comes from.
Yep.
So
I'm
encouraging everybody. I know, because you have your finger on the pulse. Now, I didn't know that about the tomatoes. Where do you see this thing? And this might be a question. You can go ahead and dodge it all together if you don't feel like you want to answer it, because I'm going to ask you to reach into your crystal ball a little bit, because of what you do. You have a better understanding for these markets, these pipelines, these supply lines that most of us just don't have. So I want to ask you straight up. From your best estimate, where do you see us going in 2024 in terms of food? I mean, in terms of our availability or the ability to afford any of this stuff in 2024, or do you even have an opinion right now?
No, I don't think it's going to get any better. I mean, the prices aren't going to come down. Prices are going to continue to go up. There's still a war in Ukraine, you know, so the grains and all that are still going to start to go up. And like your wife said, like, I don't know how people on a fixed income are affording this stuff. And the problem is they're not. You know what I mean? Our credit card debt in this country is over $1 trillion now. We're living on credit. The system's going to come crashing down. It's going to fail. It's, you know, we're mimicking Rome way too much to keep this going. It's not going to happen. You know what I mean? And I agree with you. But my thing is, like, you better learn to do it. I'm not going to say you have to have a 50-acre garden or a farm, but you better learn to grow something. You better learn to take care of yourself. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. When we started this, you know, stepping back to the beginning of the conversation, when we started this and we got into the food and the, we got into the seeds and the survival food, the seeds were because I was watching what was being sprayed on crops. You know what I mean? That was like, let's just start eating healthy again. The survival food was for a hurricane, like worried about a hurricane. You know, what if the power goes out for 2 weeks, can we feed ourselves? What this has evolved into in a matter of 10, 12 years is crazy. Like, this is no longer worrying about the power going out for 2 weeks. This is like worried about a collapse of society. And I mean, it's a very, very real possibility. You know, and it's a lot of people, again, think that, well, I've moved out of the city. I live in the country now. I'm okay. No, you're not. You know, I mean, close Walmart for a week and let me know what happens.
Yeah, they did it.
Let me know what happens. Like, you know.
Yeah, they did it down. I remember the EBT system went down, and some people suspected that it was some sort of experiment in Louisiana. Can't remember what parish it was, but basically it went down for a weekend. Man, you want to talk about some brothers going nuts. Man, yeah. They're in there throwing bricks through windows and all kinds of stuff, and it went down for a weekend. And I don't think it was a whole parish. I think it was just one town. Now, that's a weekend. Remember when Fukushima went off in Japan, people are orderly waiting in line and everything, you know, right? Yep. After this hurricane and earthquake made it look like Godzilla walked all over Japan. These people were orderly waiting in line. Well, that ain't going to happen here in the United States of Amnesia. You know, people are going to do exactly what they did down there when the EBT system just went out for a weekend. So I can't even imagine where that's going to lead. Look, y'all. I'm getting into all this, and I've been encouraging. Look, you see our videos. You see what we do. This is a how-to channel. We're not out there to do any of the fear-mongering. In fact, I've been rather critical of a lot of those people out there saying, do this, do that, and they have absolutely no background in preparedness. They're out there just trying to boost their numbers on YouTube or whatever the case is going to be. Look, I don't care about any of that. What I do care about is putting out that clarion call. Because right here, it has been a nonstop full court press.
Yeah. And you know, right. Billy, I want to add something to that too. When you start talking about that survival and all that, and like, I mean, a lot of people get worried about that or afraid of that. And it's not, you know, it's, well, you saw when COVID hit, what's the first thing they told us to do? Go home and shelter in place. Yeah. You know what I mean? You start talking about survivalists and stuff like that. And quite honestly, if I took my wife into the woods for a week, she'd kill me and I wouldn't have to worry about surviving anyway. Like, I don't want to go to the woods. You know what I mean? I want to be at home in my bed, you know, with what I'm used to, you know, and this is what I'm saying. Take stock, take inventory of what you've got now, what you need, because a lot of what you have will work in these situations. There's just a few trades or a few skills that we've lost in two generations. And they're not hard to figure out. They're not hard to learn. People like you are teaching them every day. You know, there's plenty of literature out there. Figure out how to do those few things again, you'll be all right.
Yeah, but in the meantime, until you get to that point, because there is a learning curve on some of this, I can't take you overnight and just, you know, actually I can, and I've done it, and I've talked about it a great deal out here, and a lot of you folks who are in the chat know about it. All the butchery classes I've taught, whether it's pigs, chickens, you name it, y'all, I've put an entire ecosystem in freezers. So, I mean, you know for sure that you can learn all these skills just by seeing it done and putting your hands on it. That's why we teach those courses. But on the same token, look, if it jumps off tomorrow, you need to have your beans and bullets on point, because it's getting to the point now where, honestly, I'm just shocked, Clayton, that it has lasted this. I expected this thing to completely, I guess the resilience of the American economy is really something to be talked about, because every high-end economist has been saying forever and a day, I don't know how this is still going on right now.
Yeah, because we keep printing dollars. We keep printing money. The sad thing is the rest of the world has figured this out. You know what I mean? Like, our days of glory are over. We can no longer we're going to keep printing it. It's just, you see what happens when we print it. You get 16% inflation. But you see what's going on with the BRICS countries right now. They're done. You know what I mean? The Americans, we've gotten rich off the backs of foreign nations, and they've caught on to our tricks. You know, like, I believe the days of this are over. And again, I'm shocked the economy's still rolling like it is, you know. But again, I think the credit's drying up. Like, I think it's only a matter of time before we see this thing. I don't want to see that. You know, I don't want to see that happen, but like you said, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. You know, we've seen this time and time again.
Clayton, I had a guy, it wasn't long ago, he was telling me, well, I'm all squared away, man. I got all the silver you could ever hope for. I mean, I'm sitting on a pile of silver, and I'm thinking, okay, first of all, that's good. I'm glad you got silver, but that should be part of an entire preparedness package. But that's all he had. And I'm like, okay, huh, as I go back and look in the Old Testament, if you could buy a birthright for a bowl of soup, I think I could shake you down. If I were that kind of guy, I could shake you down for every dime of silver you every piece of junk silver you got, I will shake you down the second you get hungry. And then in addition to that is, I'm like, man, I don't understand the priorities of people. Max Kaiser, you know, really, really awesome dude. He was, somebody asked him, he's like, they're like, dude, look, I got money. What should I do? Should I go out and buy silver? Should I go out and do this? He says, I'll tell you what, your better investment, what kind of car do you drive? He asked him. And they said what it was. He says, okay, what do the tires look like on that car? He says, well, I could probably, you know, he says, you know what? Your investment in new tires is a better investment than just hanging on to those worthless dollars you have, or an investment in buying land, if you could afford it, is a better investment than just hanging to have tangible assets. But one of the ones that is like universally forgotten about is storable food. And I don't know why. Maybe it's the same people that were going out buying toilet paper when COVID jumped off. I don't know. But to me, that food is more valuable than anybody's silver. If I got to put my wealth into something or anything, believe me, it's.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Okay, good.
Right.
I'm not seeing this crazy.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, you can have as many bullets as you want, or gold bars or silver coins. Like, at the end of the day, if you can't eat, you can't eat. Like, and that's what's kind of funny about this whole thing, you know, like, I've got $1 million in the stock market. Like, yeah, what are you going to do with that? You know, and I'm not saying that's a bad idea, but you skipped over one of the most important parts.
I don't get it, man. I tried to have this back when I was working in radio in Kansas City. I was, you know, one of the guys on one of the biggest talk shows there at the time. And I was kind of waking up. No, I was already awake concerning certain things, but here I am on live radio and I'm being ostracized by the other host telling me that I'm nuts because I know how to hunt, because I know how to fish, because I know how to put meat in the freezer. I know how to raise my food. I know how to do all these things. And then, you know, I remember telling him, I was furious. And right there on live radio where you just can't just say whatever. Guy got me so aggravated. I was like, look, dude, yeah, I got these things. It's a good way to live, but you're going to be working as a fluffer in somebody's basement while I'm sitting here fat and happy at my place because, dude, and now this is years and years ago. Now, it looks as if, from that guy's standpoint, they got a little egg on my face. But you know what? The same storable food that I had back then is still good right now.
Yeah.
But and look, it's worth more. I mean, I just can't even get my head around the whole notion of somebody – not realizing the whole value and benefit of being able to do this. But Clayton, that's what brings me into what you do and what you provide. Now, granted, there's a lot of people out there right now. Some of these folks in the chat, I know them. And I've been encouraging everybody to grow food. But one area where I've been sorely missing the boat is telling people, or at least providing ways in which, if things were to jump off tomorrow, what they could do to put bread on the table. So that brings me to what you do. There's a lot of people on a budget. Do you have anything specifically for those people?
Yeah, man, we've got all kinds of stuff on there now. We've got we've diversified the kits. I mean, we've grown with our offerings over the years. There's a kit on there right now that's got about 10,000 calories in it for $109. And again, that's one of those things people are, holy cow, that's a lot of money. Yeah, go to the grocery store and tell me what 10,000 calories cost you. You know, so I mean, in the grand scheme of things, they're not overpriced. You know what I mean? If, again, go buy a week's worth of food from the grocery store and tell me what you're going to spend. And it, again, it's storable food. It's sealed Mylar foil bags. It lasts for 25 years. It's peace of mind. It's insurance. You know, we buy insurance for our house and hope we never need it. We buy health insurance, car insurance. You know, the one insurance we kind of forget is food insurance. And that'd be pretty dang important if the day comes and you need it. you don't get a second shot at it either, man. That's the thing. Like, this is a one and done. Either you're going to be prepared, you're going to be ready to take care of yourself and your family, or you're going to be staying in the soup line. We got number 10 cans, you know, that they won't last as long as the food buckets will, but there's a bunch of fruits and vegetables in them. And Billy, this honestly goes back to what I was saying earlier, though. Like, I think everybody should have at least 3 months worth of freeze dried food. You know what I mean? It's great if you can afford more. It gets pretty dang expensive, but I would recommend at least 3 months and learn how to grow a garden, learn how to can, learn how to hunt, learn how to clean a deer, you know, learn how to clean a rabbit. Like, at the end of the day, you'll never be able to buy enough storable food to last a lifetime. Never going to happen. You're never going to be able to store enough rice and beans. And quite honestly, you eat enough rice and beans, you're probably not going to live much past a year anyway. So learn how to grow that garden, learn how to take care of yourself. And it's the crazy thing is, listen, you talk about the guy kind of making fun of you for storing food, knowing how to do that stuff. Dude, 50 years ago, like, that wasn't even a joke. Like, that was just the way of life. You know, like, when did this become a crazy conspiracy theorist or a survivalist? You know, like, no, that's just the way we were. Everybody took care of themselves. Everybody could take care of themselves. And then within a generation and a half, we're so dependent now on the grocery store. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy to think about that. You know what I mean? Like, we depend on them for everything anymore. We depend on them for our transportation, our healthcare, our monetary system, our food. Like, everything is dependent on somebody else now. Everything. About the only thing we do is go home and go to bed. Like, everything else is, you know, our government's taking care of us. So, I mean, it's important to learn this stuff again. You know, we've forgotten it overnight. And I tell you what, it's almost like it was done. It has been done on purpose. You know what I mean? Shut the banking system off, close the grocery store, stop taking fuel oil to the gas station, and let me know what happens with society instantly.
Yeah. Yeah, Sandy says it best there. The best stock market is your pantry. And I couldn't agree more. We're really victims of comfort. I mean, I guess that's the expression. We are truly victims of comfort. You know, we want our curry in a hurry. We want these things. We want those things. And we stop to forget that the most fundamental things, you know, like the guy who, you know, in a lot of the preparedness groups that I've run in, whether it was in Kansas, Missouri, I extricated myself from a lot of them, because you would get the guys in there that would always be, well, here's my bug out vehicle. And I'd be like, okay, where's your first aid kit? Or this guy saying, look at all my weapons over here. And I'm like, you got any antibiotics? And then you have another guy over here. Everybody had their pet little thing. So it wasn't even about preparedness. It was like a fad. So I extricated myself from a lot of those groups and realized, okay, yeah, nobody's really concerned about a resupply, which is what I love about what you're talking there. It's not that you just have the food right off the bat that you can live on until your gardens come around, you know? Yeah.
But again, like you said, though, learn how to do it, because you're not going to get it right the first time, you know? So don't go into it learning how to do this. Know how to do it when you go into it. And Billy, it doesn't take a 10-acre garden to learn how to do this stuff. I mean, grab some earth boxes or make some, you know, some raised beds in your backyard. Like, just start to learn how to do it. Start to figure it out, you know?
Yeah, that's what we teach. I mean, but it's getting to that transition point to where, okay, yeah, you want to be your own resupply. You absolutely, and you'd never really want to get in your stores unless you have to. You want to eat fresh as long as you can, especially in a crisis situation or anything of that nature. So folks, I mean, this is exactly what we're getting down to. Clayton, let me hit you up real quick on some of the water, because on your website, one thing I really love about what you have on that website is it's not convoluted with 10,000 different things and you're just pulling your hair out like, oh, shoot, where do I even start? You talked about water a little bit ago, and I love how you have you kind of, forgive the expression, but you kind of got it all distilled down to things that just seem to...
Well, Billy, I know this is bad marketing and bad advertising and a bad way to run a business, because you walk into any big box store right now, and if you're looking for a toothbrush, how many different kinds of toothbrushes are hanging on the shelf? Like, just give me a toothbrush. Give me one that works. That's all I want. We did that with the website. Like, I refuse to load it down with just all kinds of crap, you know? So everything on there, we've kind of tested ourselves. all the water filtration and stuff like that doesn't require electricity to run it. It's all mechanical. A 4-year-old can do it. You know what I mean? So we've got a way on there to store water. We've got a water bottle that'll filter, you know, a water bottle's worth of water. There's a pump to pure on there that, you know, will filter water out of a creek. And I mean, depending on how clean your water is, can filter up to several hundred gallons before it needs replaced. So, or the filter needs replaced. But that's kind of how we've done it. Like, I took the guesswork out of it. Like, this is what I know works, you know? So it's, you know, one doesn't work any better than the other. They all work, and they're easy to use. But the water is like a pretty important thing, you know, and a lot of people overlook that. Actually, it's probably one of the most important things, and it gets overlooked. But again, Billy, this is back to you'll never buy enough products off my website to last a lifetime. You know, what you can do, though, is you can buy stuff to get you through a couple months, but you better know how to do it or take care of yourself when those things run out. You know, when the filters clog up and it turns out you can't get any more filters. Like, these are kind of the get you through the rough patch, and then you got to learn to take care of yourself.
Here's one thing I love about most people are saying, okay, I'll just boil water. Okay, let's just say the power's out. Let's just say they did have an EMP, whatever the case may be. Well, first of all, if you don't know how to make a fire tactically, you just drew everybody that's looking for somebody else into your location. That's the beauty about the kind of water filtration that you have. If you can start a fire, that's great. Okay, wonderful. But it needs to be done tactically. Otherwise, you're going to have everybody and your great-grandmother finding your position. But when you have water purification abilities that don't require anything that's going to put off smoke and give away your position, that's what I love about what you got there. I mean, yeah, you can go ahead and boil. But in a tactical environment, I don't know. I don't care what you folks have seen in Hollywood movies or whatever. You don't have a fire in the field. Okay, that may have happened back in World War I. Might even happen in World War II to a certain extent. That would have happened in the rear. But people think, oh, well, if they just knocked out everything and I need to purify water, I'll just start a fire. Yeah, go ahead and see how long that lasts. So you can use yours from a tactical standpoint. That's what I love.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But this is another one of those things that, like, it doesn't crack me up, but your audience, go home tomorrow after work and start a fire. How many of them can't start a fire? You know what I mean? Like, I know that sounds silly. Go home and start a fire. Like, do you have kindling? Do you have wood? Do you have enough to keep it going for an hour? Like, you'd be shocked at how many people can't even start a fire or don't even, I mean, we don't smoke anymore. So very few people have matches or a lighter laying around their house, which isn't a great way to start a fire either. You know, eventually that'll run out. Can you start a fire with sticks? You know what I mean? Like, it's stupid little things like that, that now's the time to practice. Now's the time to learn how to do it. And we're waiting till the last minute and we're not going to know how to do it. You know what I mean? It's starting a fire sounds easy. See how many people can't do it.
Well, it's not just that either. I mean, there's other things from a tactical standpoint. I don't want to go too far afield, but one of the big things that's going to get a whole lot of people smoked, if anything ever jumps off, is the inability to walk around at night without a flashlight. I see everybody with these little head cams on. Oh, gee, you just made it that much easier for a headshot. I could do show after show after show about all the tactical errors people can make right now. But the big thing I want to really take away right now is that, look, if you look at things like William Forstchen, I just met him. He actually just lives down the road from me up here. The guy who wrote One Second After, where he got actuaries together and figured out, you know, how many people would cash in if this happened or cash in with that. You know, one of the biggest things, if you look at the numbers, if things jump off, you need to, like Clayton mentioned a little bit ago, if you can weather that first of all, 48 hours, okay, get over that one. Then your next milestone is going to be 21 days, because it takes about 21 days before people start looking at other people as food. And then after that, you got about 90 days. If you made it past 90 days, your chances just went way up. So those are things you want to consider. So they got 90-day food kits. They got, you know what, Clayton, I was going through your kit and there was a lot of breakfast kits out there. And man, I'll tell you what, if I could have put my hands on the guy, you know, I was at a preparedness festival years ago, and it was somewhere in Missouri. And this guy sold this breakfast kit. open this thing up, man. It's got powdered milk and drink mixes, man. You got legit stuff in here like multigrain cereal, granola, brown sugar, oatmeal, pancake mix. Oh, man. And the dry milk. Okay, so you got all this stuff in your and the reason I'm laughing is because I should have made this guy fan this thing open. Oh, yeah, you can eat a long time on this. And he looked like Grizzly Adams. He looked honest. Yeah, but he got me. He took me for a ride. I should have saw what was in that kit. What I love is that there's no fillers in yours, man. That's why I was so anxious to get on with you guys.
Yeah, Billy, like I said, man, after I bought another kit from another company 10 years ago, and it was absolute garbage. I mean, garbage. So when we put all these together, I made sure there was stuff in there that the kids want to eat. I made sure there was stuff in there like that granola. You don't know, that doesn't need to be cooked or anything. You can eat it right out of the bag. You know, there's meals in there that are grab and go, but there's meals in there too that you can sit down and actually cook and eat and enjoy.
That's the beauty about a lot of what you offer there, whether it's dried or freeze dried. If let's say you had to get out in a hurry. Well, I know a lot of folks that do all their preparedness in the form of canning. Yeah, go ahead and get yourself a month's worth of canning out that door in about 30 minutes. I could literally walk out of here with bushels and bushels of freeze-dried stuff that weigh almost nothing. I mean, really, how many quart canning jars can you walk around with? You know, you're just not going to do it.
Yeah. When I tell you what, it's hard to store, too. That's one nice thing about all that freeze-dried food, man. It's lightweight, and you can pack it tight. You know, so it's those bags that it's in. I mean, it gets sucked down to nothing. You know, it's funny. We get that call a lot. Like, well, it doesn't seem like there's much in here. Well, add the water back to it and cook it. Call me back.
That's a fact.
So our six serving bags that come in our entrees, like there's four of us in our family. And if we cook an entire bag of that, there's three meals there for all of us. Like, it's just, it's crazy how that freeze drying process works, man. I mean, it sucks it down to nothing.
That's a fact. I gotta ask though, because I know a lot of people are gonna ask. Where's your stuff sourced? I mean, you get any of this stuff from China?
No, everything's sourced in the United States. Our food's sourced from the United States. Our seeds are sourced from the United States. All of it's coming out of the United States. A lot of our seeds come from. Well, I'll tell you what. A lot of it comes from out west. So there's not a whole lot on the East Coast going on. A lot of it's coming from the Northwest.
Well, hey folks, if you got any questions for Clayton in the chat, by all means, stick them down there. Man, I'm just really floored. What I love about your website, man, and the things you guys do is that in so many, if you doubt me, go look for yourself, compare what they have at theirs compared to some of the other folks where there's 50,000, it seems, water purification. And you're going there 9 times out of 10 because you don't know anything about it. You need somebody else to put in some of that brain work. You got 5,000 different kits or combinations thereof. It's just confusing to the point where it just pulls your brain out, especially a lot of you ladies that reach out to me and you're thinking, okay, you know, I got a husband. All he wants to do is watch football. He doesn't do anything. You know, he sits around, he wants to drink his beer and all. And I got to do all this by myself. That's what I love about what you do there, Clayton, is it's very, you know, if you wanted to just do, if you got all your dry goods, your beans and rice or whatever, and then source the meat from you, you have that option.
Yep, man. And like I said, that's when we went into this, I tried keeping it as easy as I could keep it. Like nothing aggravates me more than going in somewhere and you got 50,000 different options and you're not sure which one you need. Like this is as easy and as simple as it gets. If you want entrees, there's a bucket of entrees. There's a bucket of fruit and vegetables, breakfast. We got a protein bucket that's got the beef, chicken, and the eggs in it. I mean, it's all kind of laid out, you know, I hate to say it is what it is, but it's very simple to understand. It's as simple as I could make it, you know, for the end user. So it's again, with the number 10 cans, you know what I mean? Like I always was so against them. And until we, you know, I went and tested them and tried them and all that. And I'm like, man, this is actually a pretty dang good idea. Cause it's like everything again is separated into these cans. It makes it a lot easier to use. So it's, everything on there is as simple as I could get it, as easy as I could get it, and as straightforward as I could get it. And like I said, if you've already bought this stuff, if you've already got it sitting around, I urge you to double check it to see what you have, to make sure that what you have is what you think you have. Because I know there's the thing was nobody regulates these serving sizes. You know, nobody was ever counting calories. So a lot of these places, they just tell you, hey, you need three meals a day, a breakfast, lunch, and a dinner. What they fail to tell you is that one of the servings is a tablespoon of drink mix, you know, with 50 calories in it. Like, that's not going to do anything for you. So that's how a lot of this stuff was figured. Like I said, when I got it, man, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, this is junk. This is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what kind of got me into the, we had started with the seeds and it got me into that. Like, you know, the seeds are great for a lifetime of food, but what do I do for the 3 months prior to that stuff or the six that's months right. prior to it? So again, I think everybody needs to have it. You know what I mean? It's crazy. This is like one of those things that we'd have never talked about this 50 years ago because everybody already had this stuff. These were trades and skills that weren't lost at the time. Like now when you talk about this stuff, people think you're crazy. Our grandparents didn't think we were crazy. I mean, it's just the way they lived. So, you know, it's one of those things. I think we got to figure out how to do it again. And it's got to be taught. And it's, again, I don't think it's a hard lesson to learn. You know what I mean? It's in our DNA. We've done this stuff for thousands of years. So we just got to figure it out again and figure out how to do it.
Well, yeah, that's why it was called the Renaissance, you know, because they lost everything in the classical age from Rome. Okay, went through the Dark Ages. And then when you get on the backside, that's why it Renaissance means rebirth. Yep. And here we are, folks. You can be that part. You can be your part of your own Renaissance. Folks are asking, what's Clayton's website? It's Heaven's Harvest. We got it down there in the chat, heavensharvest.com. Promo code PERMA will knock off 10%, I believe. And yeah, so for anybody out there saying, oh, well, you get something out of this. Yes, I do. A workman's worth is higher. And folks, I put out a lot of great content for so many of you folks. And you don't have to buy this stuff. I'm just saying, if you are, there's a reason why every advertiser for this show and this website, not one of them ever came to me. I went to them because their product was so impressive to me that I'm like, okay, I'm never going to be that guy where people are going to say, here, peddle this product, peddle this, peddle that. You can ask Clayton or probably ask his wife. I reached out to them. They didn't come to me. I reached out to them because I knew their stuff was legit. I checked into it. Other friends of mine had checked it out. And then as I examined their website and stuff, I'm like, man, I really love how they're doing business here. It's taking all the guesswork out of everything. And it's laying it out for the people that don't necessarily know. Yeah, so that's exactly why I reached out to them. But it was more important Clayton's expertise in what's going on and having a real feel for the bottom in terms of where things are headed in this country is why I wanted so much to get him on here, y'all. We are on a knife's edge. Things are getting stupid. I'm not trying to scare anybody. We have been in the empowerment business from the day we started this channel. From the very before we ever started the podcast, go back and look at every video. It is how to do this, how to do that. But now we're getting to the point where I'm not sure how much time is left. I'm not going to sit here and be some prognosticator of doom, but I know this much. If it does jump off, well, all those demarcation points that I talked about, whether it's the 48 hours, the 90 days, whatever, you know what? I know that I can do that. And with all the stuff that I'm teaching out there, but honestly, if you need that time to get to the finish line where you're not eating up all your stores, or you're going to sit here and go on a 90-day fast because you're waiting on a radish to come up, this is how you beat all that. So yeah, go to Heaven's Harvest, Heaven's Harvest, promo code PERMA. And you'll get 10% off. Clayton, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, there is one thing I'd like to add. I don't know how you feel about this, but the lone wolf dies alone. Have a community. Talk to your neighbors. There's like-minded people where you're at. Work together.
That's what I'm talking about, y'all. Hey, we live in very precarious times, y'all. I don't have to do this. Clayton doesn't have to do this. I mean, there's a lot of other things we could do with our time, but it just means the world to me that everybody's prepared for this crazy, idiotic nonsense that's going on. Clayton, yeah. I want to thank you so much for your time, and thanks everybody else out there. Until next time, y'all, stay alert, stay alive.